want to talk about this morning. I want to ask you a question. Are you a runner? You notice that title? Are you a runner? Now, get him one of those and hang on to him and be the passer outer. Now, we're not talking about running your truck down the road, being a runner. We're not talking about running as in exercise. You notice where the scripture's coming from? Jonah.
Yeah.
What's he noted for?
Running away from God and what God wants him to do.
The huge fish, right?
Because he didn't like them people. Didn't want
right. to save. And there again, you know, tradition says whale, but the Bible doesn't say that. It just says a fish.
Yeah.
You know, God could cause a minnow to swallow him if he wanted to, but we assume it was a whale being in the sea and something swallowed him. But let's go back and start at the beginning. In chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Now, I'll get to that later. What's the first two words in verse 3?
But Jonah.
That sounds like Joe to me. I got a better idea, God. Now, we wouldn't dare say that, but our actions show that.
Yeah.
And Jonah. Now, here, I want you to notice something. You notice I got one phrase bolded and underlined, but we'll get there. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Remember that, from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish. What? From the presence of the Lord. Let me ask you something. That's right. Since God is omnipresent, where are you going that he's not? Of course, now again, if you put yourself in Jonah's shoes, and we've all been there in a way, some way or another, you know, we think if we just say no and go somewhere, God will leave us alone. But that's not the case. You know, I believe in verses 1 and 2 is God's call to all born-again Christian truck drivers. Now, the city of Joppa, in this case, the city of Nineveh, could be Atlanta, Los Angeles, Dallas, Chicago, or a little bitty town of Jackson, right where you are today. I believe that all week he's been saying to drivers, go to this city. Now, you think the dispatcher sent you there, and I used to say, you know, let them think that. It's okay. I believe God did that. Because the Bible says the footsteps of a good person are directed by the Lord, right? Now, Christy Cheat, she's got a regular run, so she knows where she's going to be pretty much all the time.
But he calls me to my work.
And let me tell you this, that God has called all drivers, right?
Yeah.
Well, Jim and Mary here are missionary drivers, and we've created the missionary driver program for those drivers that are still on the road and has a calling on their life, and they're tired of running from God. Let's get on with it. You know, there's excuses after excuses. I had plenty. I remember I was there in 1980. God began to deal with my heart about going to a truck stop and do a chapel service. And of course, I said, but God. Wait just a minute. And you know, Moses had a lot of excuses in his day, right? Moses even had a speech impairment. He stuttered real bad, according to history. So he thought he had an excuse. I can't explain without spluttering, he said, you know. He said, no problem, I'll send somebody to do the talking for you. In other words, God's calling on our life is not going to change because of situations in our life. It is as if God didn't know he stuttered. If God didn't know my problem. As if God didn't know your shortcomings, okay, that we use for an excuse. You know, by the way, just a side note. Before I forget it, If you're interested in the missionary driver program, one, you can talk to Jim, but secondly, there's a brochure back there about it. Take it with you and pray over it. A side note, I wondered, you know, when I was studying this out, I wondered if a new name for Nineveh might be America.
That's a good one.
America. That great city, that great country, you might say, and God could truthfully say, their wickedness have come up before me. And I've said it many times, but we embrace sin, you know. But then again, we see all this going on, and we use that for an excuse not to do God's work. It won't work. It's not going to work. So, are you a runner? Are you running from God? A lot of y'all know Lee Strabel, fisherman, and he shares in his testimony, you know, I ran and ran and ran and ran from God, and when I stopped to catch my breath, he was already there. So, and like Jonah was going to leave the presence of God. How are you going to do that? It's not going to happen, you know. And by the way, those of you, I can tell you this from experience. If you got a calling on your life, give up, because you'll only get more miserable as you go along. I can tell you that from experience. You know, you can't get away. But, you know, even as a born-again Christian, we can be running from God. Certain things he wants us to do, certain things he wants to say, you know, maybe make a change in your career or something. In my case, he did. You know, many, many years ago, had like Christy, I had a regular run to New Mexico and back. I mean, Jan could cook dinner on Saturday just about, knowing when I'd be here. You know, I was there. I mean, Friday night, Saturday morning, depending on how hard I wanted to run coming back. I loaded Thursday morning in New Mexico, delivered Monday morning in Macon, Georgia. Reload Tuesday, deliver Wednesday, reload Thursday. Bang, 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 you know, back and forth. Then God had this audacity to tell me, cancel your lease where you are and come follow me. Independent. Well, what am I going to do? Well, I'll tell you when you... First, you got to get rid of the lease. Oh. And I'm not telling you to do any of this. I'm just sharing experience, you know. That was shaky. But God did a great work there too, by the way. Here's a sample. Our next scripture picks up in verse 4. You have that?
Yep.
Here's a sample of some results, I call it, from running from God. Of course, we know the story. Jonah got in the ship. They're headed out. He paid his, you know, fare, so he's not like sneaking on there. And you know the story. God sent a great wind on the sea, it says in verse 4, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea so that the ship was about to be broken up. So the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God. I mean, they were calling on any God they could figure out. The ship's sinking, right? And notice that in the scripture, that's a little g God. That's not God, our God that we serve. But anyway, they threw cargo overside to lighten the ship. But Jonah, it says, had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had laid down and was fast asleep. Verse 6, captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. And you notice that's a big G. Now, they didn't know that guy. He was just a passenger. But the captain, somehow or another, they knew this guy's got something to do with all this. Right? He said, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. How many times have people come to you, and it'll happen over and over, as a born-again Christian, right? They don't serve God, won't talk about God, don't want to be around God. But when everything goes wrong, you know, when that child's dying, when that spouse is dying, when the finances are going to pot. And that's what we're there for. That's part of the role of the missionary driver, is to be out there and be conspicuous so that people will come to you and ask for prayer. You know, of course, if I was God, when I came to him, if I'd been God, I said, well, you hadn't wanted me up to this point, why should I listen to you now? But he doesn't, does he? The Bible says if we confess our sins, he'll forgive us. Simple as that. You know? So let's go on a little bit. He said, call on your God, perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots. And of course the lot, we know, fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, please tell us, for what cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? So he told him, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the God, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Must not have feared him too much. He was running. Then verse 10. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to them, why have you done this? Well, we know the story, right? What did they do? He said, throw me in the sea. Throw me in the sea. Get me off the boat and you'll be all right. Now, first of all, he knew God. He knew God was going to save him, but he was going to sacrifice his life to save the rest. So that was the God in him coming out, right?
Right.
So he still knew, I've got to answer for what I've done. And again, how many people want to do that? We want to blame it on somebody else, don't we? But they threw him in the sea. And now verse 17, drop down to there with me, if you will. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That must have been weird. We got some pretty big catfish in our fish pond over there at the house. And, you know, some, I could put both fists in their mouth. But I can only imagine something big enough to swallow me. And you're still alive. He's still alive in the belly of the fish. And you know, it's been said, by the way, that this fish wasn't there to harm him. But the fish was put there by God to save him, to keep him from drowning. Otherwise, he'd have probably drowned. But now, of course, Jonah, go down to chapter 2. I think you got there. I hope I printed all that out. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Now he's in the belly of the fish, right? Now he can't run anymore. Now he's got his back up against the wall. What does he do? Verse 1.
Prayed to the Lord.
He prayed. Don't that sound like us? Don't that sound like us? First of all, I thought I'd just go hide and God wouldn't pay me any attention. That ain't going to happen. Right? That ain't going to happen. Then he said, but when he got to that point, you know, and please, folks, don't wait till then. Don't wait till then. I know a lot of people, I've met people that are betting on a deathbed repentance, I call it. You know, betting on the doctor saying, Mr. Hunter, I'm sorry you got cancer and there's no hope for you, and give me a little time there to pray. But also, as truck drivers, how many times have we seen wrecks where people were killed instantly?
Yes.
You know, not a scare tactic, but a thought tactic. And this is what we want to share as we go, is that uncertainty of life, that you can't get away from God, that God is with you wherever you go. Now, obviously, he's not obligated to protect those that are not serving. Did you know that? What he does is out of his grace. We don't deserve nothing.
That's right.
We deserve death and hell if you get down to it. But you know, we wait seemingly till we run out of answers to pray. And God's amazing grace to me. I love that song.
My favorite
song. But his amazing grace is that he cares for us. What did Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, while we were living in sin, God sent his son, right? Jesus died for you and me.
Amen.
Now, if we really appreciate that, now my opinion is we'll tell somebody. I bet if I gave somebody, had the keys, I've shared this many times, but if I said, here's the keys to a brand new truck of your choice, won't cost you a dime. Just don't tell nobody where you got it. Well, it wouldn't matter what I say. You'd be telling everybody where that came from, right?
Yeah.
And it's just a dumb old truck. And by the same token, Jesus gives us eternal life. by far the greatest gift we could ever get. And what do? It's the best kept secret in town.
Yeah.
Again, there's programs where you can get involved. And let's go on down a little ways. Then he says, out of the belly of Sheol, which is a word for hell, by the way, I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I've been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. And here's what I want to get. A little bit hilarious to me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. That was undigested food when you think about it.
No.
Yeah, for real. Yuck. I mean, here's a man running from God and just in the absolute pits. You know, well, again, we all get there one way or the other. But he goes on to say, let's drop down. One reason I printed this out, I want you to take it all with you and study it out later when you have plenty of time. Verse 8, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with what?
The
voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Man, I mean, he's saying, hey, you got my attention. Whatever it is you want, you got it. Well, no wonder. He can't go nowhere else. He's in the belly of a fish. I wonder if he really knew where he was at. You know what I mean? I don't know if he saw the fish swallow him or all of a sudden he opened his eyes and he's in there. Anyway, he knows he's in a very bad situation.
That's right.
Right? And he says, I will pay what I vow. In other words, I made promises I hadn't kept. I'll go take care of it. Let me out of here. I'll take care of that. I'll do anything, you know. Mine was the opposite. You know, I was on top of the world, had a great job and great benefits and all that, and we were doing exceedingly well. And I remember riding down to Florida Pike. Chrissy's heard this 100 times, but I remember riding down in my big, large car. You know, all I do is get it up in 15th gear, master cruise control, and just literally tilt my seat back, get my coffee mug, and go to Pompano. I mean, on top of the world. I remember lifting my arms and saying, God, I'm your man. I'm just so thankful for what you're doing in my life. You know, if you ever want anything, you got my number. What can I do, Lord? One trip, he said, go home and quit your job. I said, what else could I do, Lord? But you know the rest of the story, right?
Yeah.
Look at verse 10. And by the way, I am so glad I did that. And I'll never tell you to do that. God has to do that. If it ain't God, you're going to fall flat on your face. It looked good to the public. People will pat you on the back all the while you're suffering. I've been there and done that too. Okay? Better seek God. If he leads you to do it, you can't lose. You can't lose. Look at verse 10. So the Lord did what? Spoke to the fish. I find that interesting. He spoke to the fish. And then what did the fish do? He vomited Jonah where?
Up on shore.
On dry ground. Is that cool or that? Yeah. Now, picture with me. Of course, this isn't in the Bible. This is 1 Job. Picture with me these fishermen standing on the shore, right?
Yeah.
Fishing. And here comes this great big fish, opens his mouth, and literally spit somebody out in front of you. With all that seaweed and all that stuff around. And you go, and he says, repent, you know, or something. I would be on my knees and I don't know where you are. But that literally happened. He spit him out on. Yep. He spit him out on dry land. You know what? Jonah running from God was so bad it made the fish sick.
Yeah, really?
Made the fish throw up. when we're running from God in any way, denying God or whatever, it not only makes you feel bad, everybody around you feel bad, because they'll know there's something wrong in your life. Just like in the boat, when he was still in the boat, right? They said, what are you doing? What have you done? Where you come from? What in the world is going on to cause this catastrophe? Running from God is a catastrophe. It's what is that saying? It's a wreck looking for somewhere to happen. Your life is just don't do it. The great news, of course, and the good ending to the story was that even though Jonah disobeyed God and he ran, what did he do when he wound up in the belly of the fish? He repented, right? He repented. God forgave him, sent him on into the... God said, okay, let's get back to plan A now. What was it I told you to do? Go to Nineveh, right?
Yeah.
And the Bible says that, now which we had time, but read it in Jonah sometime. He went to Nineveh, and the whole city, from the leaders, everybody got saved. Every one of them come to Christ. I suppose he had a bath before he went up there. I don't know, but it doesn't say. But he went there, and because of the anointing on his life, the whole city got saved. Now, chances are, as truck drivers, God's not going to call us to go in the middle of Atlanta and talk to everybody there, or in the middle of Jackson and talk to everybody there, but one-on-one with the person near you at a truck stop. You see, I'm not called to be a Billy Graham or a Greg Laurie in California. Don't go to stadiums, right? And you probably won't either. You may or may not. I can't say you won't.
Well,
what about this? What about where we are? I have a friend named Don Farrell. In fact, he's Christian, pastor. And he says, start where you are with what you have. Start where you are with what you have. And what you have, I hope, is God's salvation in your life. If you don't have that, then we need to start there today. We need to make sure of that today. And you say, well, you know, God hadn't called me to go to any particular place. I don't know that God's calling me to do anything. Well, trust me, he is. Here he is. I've been studying lately in my morning devotion, Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah. And I take it line by line, verse by verse. And sometimes I'll read a chapter over and over and over and over, probably sometimes a week or two, reading it every day, until I feel like I got what I was supposed to get. Of course, there's always more. But in Jeremiah 29:11, I believe it is, he says, God has a plan for your life. And he has a plan for every one of our lives. You know, God wants to bless us. God wants to see us blessed. God wants to use us for his glory. Now, we can't have any blessings. Oh, you could have billions of dollars, but you're still not blessed if you're not living for God, because you're not happy. I listen to oldie stations sometimes, and my old song came on the other day, the Rolling Stone, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. And I sat there listening to it, laughing. And the reason I was laughing is, when I was listening to it, I wasn't getting no satisfaction, and they were telling me, you idiot, you're not happy where you're at. Do something else, you know? I guess you could say God sent me a message through them, but I wouldn't go that far. But the truth is, no one is satisfied. No one is at peace. No one has joy outside God's will. If you're not living in God's will today, like I say, let's change that. I want to see you leave here happy. I want to see you leave. No, better than that, because we got a message I noticed back there that says God does not want you happy. You need to read it. You need to get it and listen to it. God doesn't want you happy. He wants you full of joy. He wants you full of joy, because joy outweighs happiness. Happiness is an emotion, right? We can be happy for a little while, even not serving God, but we will never have joy until we get to know Jesus personally. And you know, we got scriptures here. You got Romans. Did I print that out at the end?
Yeah.
Here is God's plan of salvation. And just in case someone in here is not absolutely sure, or us Baptists have a bad habit of saying, make a public profession of faith. Now, I don't like that phrase, and I'll tell you why. What does that mean? You know, you might say, I made a profession of faith when I was 13 years old. Okay, fine. What does that mean? What I mean by my question is, tell me how you was born again. Tell me that you repented of your sins, that Jesus came into your life, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're going to heaven. That's what I want to know, okay? I don't know what you said, but what I want you to tell me is I know I'm saved. I know I'm ready. And today, if you're not 100% sure, or you may be even running from God in some way in your life. I don't know. We don't, you know, we may not see each other again between now and heaven. But I do want you to know that you can correct that. Because God gave us the scripture right here. And let's look at it together. Normally, I skip verse 11 and 12. But I want to show you something. In case you hadn't read that lately, read along with me. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. God's promise. Ain't no doubt about it. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Number one, you see, we got to believe. We got to believe that he exists. And number two, we got to confess with our mouth that he is who he said he is. There's two confessions here, by the way. We'll get into that when we have time. Verse 11 is a great one. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Wow. I'm not ashamed. Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. In here, we would all say that real easy, right?
Yeah.
What about when you're the only one, you know, you seemed like, and I've been there and done that. I seemed like I was the only Christian in 1,000 miles, you know, sitting at a truck stop by myself, you know, not by myself, but seemingly spiritually by myself. And I've always taught my children, don't roll with the flow, create the flow. Turn it around. Turn it around. Don't go with the flow. And if I don't say something, they think I agree with them. Since I didn't say anything. So I've got to say something. Well, you're a bucket mouth. I know that. I readily admit that. But before I got saved, I was a bucket mouth for Satan. I'd be just like some of the others, right? Were it not for the grace of God. We'd be using God's name in vain. We'd be doing any number of things. And you know, by having his name attached to us and us not using it properly, is one way of using it in vain. Think about that. I'm a representative of God all the time, 24/7. Do you do it right all the time? Absolutely not. I'd be lying to you. But I do this, is when I realize it's going the wrong direction, I stop, say, hold it. I try not to wait till I get in the belly of the fish. I just can't imagine that. The more I think about it, more gory that sound. But it says that we will not be put to shame. Verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. It said, for whoever, anybody that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow. Simple as that. People try to complicate that, especially religious people. Try to complicate how to be saved. Now, of course, repenting of your sins, saying a little prayer, and believing in his word is only the starting point. That's only the starting point. That's the point we turn around. Then we dig in, get in the Word, study the Word, and learn how to walk in it. I know this lady here, I can vouch for her because she's bought, she's probably got a truckload of CDs that she's listened to. And,
Five or less.
More coming. And that's what we need to do, because we need to redo our mind, right? Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. It's not going to happen just walking around in this world. I dare say, walking around a truck stop parking lot and in and around the building, you're probably not going to hear a whole lot of gospel.
No.
Right?
No.
Why? Because we're foreigners in this land. But we need to turn that around. We need to turn that around. If you go in a fuel stop, and thank you, Lord, if you go in a fuel stop where you fuel and they're selling pornography, it may be behind the counter, why don't you go to the manager and say, I spend money, I really don't like that. They might tell you where to go, but you have expressed your opinion. He or she can't say, well, all of them is the same. This one don't like that. Okay? But instead, we just cower in a corner somewhere and just let it go. Right? When we ought to be saying, Lord, forgive me from running. See, that's a running from God. That's a Jonah. God might have put you in that truck stop at that time for that purpose. He put you here for a reason, trust me. It wasn't by chance that you stopped where you did yesterday. It's not by chance that you take hours at a certain place. My son is, in fact, in our chapel in Denver, Colorado, as we speak, headed to Portland, Oregon. I don't see how that's regional, but anyway, that's a wrong region. But he planned it. He was talking to me about times and chapels and that. Got to Denver last night, said, well, I'll just go to bed here. Get up in the morning. And I said, we'll be prepared for God to use, you know. That's what I tell him all the time. You know, you're there for a reason. God knew when he created Adam, he was going to take hours in Denver. How many believe that? He knew that. All right? He also knew you was going to goof up. He knew I was going to goof up, right? And he prepared this way out that we just read. So we can get out of that instead of saying, woe is me, or I can't live the Christian life. You're right, you can't. I can't. But Jesus in us can. The power of the Holy Spirit in us can. So I want to close, as I always do, by simply praying a prayer. If there's something in your life that shouldn't be, and God has made you aware of that, then now's the time to get rid of it. We're going to stand on what we just read, 1 John 1 and 9. Confess our sins before God. We don't have to itemize them. We don't have to say what they are, because he knows and you know and I know. So we're going to pray a simple little prayer. And I'm going to ask you to repeat the prayer with me out loud with your heads up and eyes open. Right? Because again, I say it kind of humorously, but when you're going down the road, don't close your eyes to pray. You can pray. We also have a 1020 prayer impact ministry that you need to be a part of. Absolutely free. There's a brochure back there on that. But first is getting ourselves lined up so we can share the good news. Amen?
Amen.
So would you pray with me? You say, well, I'm a Christian. I don't need to. Well, that's okay. That's good. But in case somebody else around you might want to, this is what I like to do. Let's all pray it together. If you don't mean it, it's not going to do anything anyway. You know, if you don't mean it from your heart, you can pray it from now on. I've had drivers pray with me just to get rid of me. I know that. That was a little bit in my infancy when I was going to get you by the nape of the neck and say, you're going to repent today. Not literally, but that was kind of my attitude.
Yeah.
You're not leaving here till you pray. And thinking back, they probably said, okay, let's pray, whatever, I got to go, you know.
Yeah.
I've had some to say, after we prayed, would you call my wife and tell her I prayed with you? And my response is no. If you meant that, she'll know that. See, your attitude will change. Your countenance will change. God will change you from the inside out. That's the wonderful thing about serving God. It don't matter how bad things get, He's still there. The peace of God that passes all understanding can guard your heart and mind if you mean this prayer from your heart and you stop running from God. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father,
I come to you
in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins. Forgive me for running from your will in my life. With your help, with your enablement, I will follow your leading. I'll do your will wherever you send me. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. I receive that forgiveness right now. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord.